goings to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to the radio show that's more refreshing than Poseidon's Kiss. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm the poet extraordinaire J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, he's the man with the plan. He is Michael Amade.
You know, someone overheard the beginning of the show, and they said, and they didn't remember it correctly, and they said, why did that host say that you were walking the left-hand path? I'm like, no, that's not what he said.
No, that's not what I said.
I was so angry, I you know, it was almost like Poseidon's fury came over me, and yes. I just angrily had to. What is this Poseidon thing? What are we doing? What is this?
I don't know.
Are we just doing the Greek god thing?
Yes.
Because I'm so spent.
We are in the age of Aquarius. Why not?
That's true. How long does this age last? Aquarians kind of annoy me sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of someone whose birthday is next week.
Next week, yep. So, we've got someone that's on your left-hand side. Every trip swimming with him is a Poseidon adventure. He is the half-squatch.
Wow. The ship's lovely. Upside down. We just got to crawl to the bottom.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
see,
what's, that's
got
what's
the
going.
Movie reference.
I'm sorry,
see,
climb to the bottom.
Climb, yeah.
All right, so what we do here, aside from crazy movie talk, we also do poetry. We have three great sponsors to help us bring it to you. KNetBooks.com. You want to be smart. You want to learn to write many forms of poetry. Check out their poetry books. Use them as long as you need them. Send them back. They send you a bill.
That's right. KNet Books. Don't be an ignorant bastard. That's what I'm trying to get them to pick up as their new tagline.
I don't think it's. Gonna
I don't
work,
think that's
okay.
going to work at all.
Why not?
Okay. Do you have taglines for all three?
I can make them up on the fly.
Awesome.
All
right,
I'm good at
cool.
this.
All right. So our next sponsor is HollywoodMemorabilia.com. You want something signed by anybody, check them out. They probably might could have it.
Jack Nicholson theoretically might have wore the pair of underwear that he signed, I might have worn this, Jack Nicholson, on HollywoodMemorabilia.com. I always said
hemorrhoid.
That's
hemorrhabilia.
Totally different thing.
Totally different, yeah.
But right. Hey, see if that URL is free.
Done!
Right.
Who's our third lucky sponsor?
Our third lucky sponsor who pay greatly for these advertisements. They are naturebox.com. You want food that's or snacks that are gluten-free, GMO-free. You want them free of sugar. You want them free of anything but taste, really. Because there is definitely taste in every snack that they've got. It's naturebox.com. Check them out. Tell them J. Todd from World Poetry Open Mic sent you, and they may give you something. I'm not sure. We've never really talked like
now,
that.
Well, the thing is, yeah, we never really had that conversation. They just have a lot of people saying that. The other thing that I would suggest is if you're going to say J. Todd sent you, make sure you say it with the full mouth. I think that's...
Yeah.
That's the best part.
A mouthful of their Chipotle chickpeas will work just fine.
And you have to do it with a Nature Box recipe that you have in your mouth. They'll know. They know the difference. I tried it with some Rice Krispie cakes.
No. Mm-mm.
Nope. They were like, you know what? You're making terrible health decisions. We should not talk right
we
now.
We can smell the gluten on your breath.
We can over the phone. Are you gluten drunk? You ate a sandwich today, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what happens. They're a little judgmental over there. But, hey, the food's good, so they can do that.
Properly judgmental.
We do love our sponsors. Thank you guys very much for making this poetry show happen. You guys drive this poetry show also. We want your poetry 1 to 3 minutes long. We want it free of any hate speech. We want it free of the magical F-bomb and about PG-13 or under.
What's magical about that F-bomb? I was wondering, what happens when I say it?
It's
not on the air, just in general.
It's offensive?
The way
well,
that...
It's, yeah.
It's just...
I knew that.
Well, it's magic because it makes our callers disappear when they use it.
That actually is a great answer.
Okay. However, The other thing that makes it magic is we all remember the Phantom coasting with us. She uses it as a flavor enhancer in all our sentences.
And some goulash. That was actually quite tasty. Last time I had that, that was years ago.
That's not an F-bomb. That's a G-bomb. Anyway, so call in now. 720-240-9766.
I don't know what that means. 720-240-9766. Let's make this happen.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, you've got World Poetry Open Mic. You're home for poetic justice.
Whoops.
All right. So, wow, that segment. What the? That segment filled up quickly? Holy cow.
Yeah, that filled up really fast.
Faith, I see you calling. You're going to want to wait till the next segment when we prompt you to come in. I do want to hear your poem. Also, thank you to Philip for understanding that we filled up so quickly as well. We've got five great callers. Let's just go ahead and go right to the phone lines. Please welcome from the Poetry State. He is the longest supporter of our show. I know. I checked. He is Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic. It's Friday night, the best week of the night.
Thank you. Are you saying our show? No, I was going to say, are you saying our show's long is the best week of the night?
I don't know. But it's Friday night, and we're all together, and the family reunion is starting.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to share with you this night. There has been so much snow flying. The East Coast got pummeled just last week, and the rest of the country is getting pounded every once in a while, too.
Well, we're fixing for about 10 to 20 inches of snow in the next couple of days.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of... Well, we're getting ready to take a pounding here.
Yes. Well, I'd like to share with you a poem I've written with winter in mind. The title is Ode to My Snow Shovel.
All right.
And it goes like this. Oh, snow shovel, I am in your debt. You rescue me from the grips of Arctic malevolence. You free me from snowbound despair. Your sleek form and streamlined functionality, with your precision ground stainless steel blade, you match winter's fierceness undaunted. Together, we stand a unified force. You, like the mighty Excalibur in King Arthur's hand, you empower me to move mountains and thwart this crystalline injustice. And you do it in a small carbon footprint, not like the cumbersome snowblowers and their fossil fuel gluttony and foul, gaseous exhaust. Plus, you work silently, effectively, bringing order back into the pathways of life. Yes, I am in your debt, and I will stand by your side as long as I am able. For you are worthy of my allegiance and your due homage. The end.
Absolutely. Well done, Dennis. Love the wordplay in that. The fossil fuel gluttony. Wonderful line. Love it.
Well, thank you very much. I thought it was appropriate for this time of year, and I'm glad I was able to share it. And thank you for giving us the platform to be able to do this.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Thank you, everybody that supports the show that makes it happen.
Oh, yes. And you guys are really appreciated. And we aren't going to let you forget that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
God bless you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wait for it.
I was going to say wait for it. Never mind.
Never mind.
Sorry, I said wait for it too soon.
That's all right. But you know what? Dennis's poem about snow shovel reminds me that me and my snow shovel are going to have a special relationship for the next few days.
I thought I already. Never mind.
You know what?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm done with snow shovels.
Yeah. What? You have a
I have a snow thrower.
You have a
do you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I heard that you love that.
Fire that thing up and just brrr. Oh.
I remember hearing you were really excited about that.
It's so nice.
Mm. Yeah.
I can throw the snow across the street.
Mm. What?
Yeah. That's why your neighbors hate me when I park
that's
next to their
right.
house.
That's right.
I thought his neighbors were just grumpy.
Yeah, I thought they were going to thrown on your driveway by him would make you grumpy.
Well, because I used to park across the street from your place, and I eventually got a note saying, please don't park here anymore. And I think they spelled anymore with an I, and it was written in crayon. I'm pretty sure first graders should not be driving or leaving notes on people's cars.
Exactly, right?
I would definitely have to agree to that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So, someone that does not write like a first grader, please welcome from New York, she is Lorraine.
Nice transition.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I know I'm talking to a room of creative geniuses, so...
What, us?
And we're all in hot dog costumes.
One way or another, you created something. I know that. Or you wouldn't be running this show, but... I wrote this thing. I don't know if this happens to you, but like I know JT writes poetry. You get the thought, you know, like in your head during the night, and then you're compelled to put it on paper. Like
I keep my writing space right next to my bedroom just for that reason. My wife's very understanding.
Exactly.
The blue light will come on from my monitor, and she'll be like, oh, he's working again.
Oh, he's working again. I know. Yeah. My husband snores through everything, so it doesn't bother him. The cat gets up, but, you know. I can deal with her. Anyhow, I had this thought last night, and I put it on paper. It's not a poem. It's not prose. It's not a short story. I don't know what it is, but it's what I thought. And it's called, I entitled it, Beginnings. I was thinking about beginnings. Our first breath, the first day of school, the first kiss, our first car, beginnings. Our lives are defined by first. Like opening a new book, the feel of the cover, the smell of the ink, the paper, and then we begin to read. The chapters are like the stages of our lives. They develop into a story, starting with chapter one. Our lives develop into stories. Some end abruptly, some go on and on, but there's always a last chapter, always an end. Some stories stay with us. Others are lost, forgotten with time, or all at once suddenly not there anymore. Some stories are connected, some are singular, but they all exist. They all matter in the scheme of things. Sorrow and joy impact the landscape of our lives, interrupting the source, but the flow continues and the stories move forward. Every story leaves an impression. Impressions form our history, some deep, some shallow, but all of them extend into the reality of who we are and how we evolved. As we explore new worlds, we must reserve space for our own story, the part of us that lives on. End poem. Thank you.
Very well done for Dream Thoughts. I like that.
Thank you. What would you call that? Is that flow of consciousness?
Stream of consciousness is that's
stream.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Unless you need pills, and then it's interrupted stream of consciousness. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now.
But really,
I often get interrupted. But
yeah. Well, no, Lorraine, you got to understand. Really, all we do here is cross streams of consciousness when we're doing, you know, creating a show like this.
Yes, you never cross the stream.
Sometimes you're not supposed to cross the streams.
There are a lot of crossings going on there. Yeah.
There's, well, I am a Catholic school teacher,
yes.
So you know,
and our mothers do a lot of crossings for us too.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I have
I know.
Muscle scars too.
I know. Every day I walk in, I have to do the whole. Oh, that I have
no,
to. It's in my contract. Yeah, it's in my contract.
Oh my God, you're funny. Well, I know you write music, right, Michael?
Well, you know, I've been known on occasionally to pick up the pen and
dabbles in it.
I dabble occasionally.
There you go. Well, I just want to say that, you know, again, I just love this show, and I love all you guys, and I appreciate what you're doing. And are you going to have a second, you know?
Once we run out of callers, yes, we always go back for seconds.
Okay. Well,
we're all about seconds. Yeah.
I feel like Lily Tomlin, one ringy dingy, two exactly. ringy dingy, three ringy. Yeah. But
Lorraine,
I'll try.
That's okay.
Lorraine,
you got three ding-a-lings here too.
Every time I hear
love
the Lorraine, every time I hear the phone ring, that's exactly what goes through my head. One ringy dingy.
Oh my God. Really?
Two ringy dingy every time.
That's awesome. Every time I hear someone knock on the door, I instantly think it's the Candy Graham, it's the Land Shark.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
I agree.
Literally every time.
I was going to say caffeine. See, little do I know.
Yeah,
I,
see.
You know,
Candy Graham.
Tequila, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Whatever blows up your skirt, as they said. Long Island. I'll talk
it's okay. I'm part Irish and Scottish.
And the good ones, I hope. So what part is that?
He's related to Robert Burns, of course.
No. Well, yeah. Everybody's related to a King quote. You know, there's some spotty genealogy that happened in my past, I think. Not my fault.
Spotty genealogy? Oh, God. I heard of spotty Wi-Fi, but spotty genealogy.
Spotty genealogy, really? You do have to kind of take pills. Occasionally, you have to go on dialysis.
Wow.
Oh. Sounds a little tough, but, you know,
true.
If it's the path you chose, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, you just put it in a slow cooker. It works.
Crockpot.
Okay, well, I think we're weirding everybody out here. So.
Lorraine,
on that note.
I thank you very much for calling our show, though.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I don't know. Was that really an evolution? I mean, her poetry was great, but was that last part an evolution in poetry radio? That,
you ever get it? And I know we've all been through this, especially since we started this show. You ever get in a break and go, what the hell am I going to do to get out of this?
No, I mean, that happens to me all the time. I think there's so many moments in this show where it's like the equivalent of walking into a room, tripping, knocking over a whole tray of things, knocking over, you know, three or four people, the bride who's about to get married and everything. Exactly. And then at the very end, we stand up and go,
he came in like a wrecking ball.
Or we stand up and do the, and this is Roberto Benigni from the Pink Panther movie he did. That felt good.
Right.
I feel like we do that.
Yes.
Wow.
We do have more callers, though.
Thanks.
Calling from Connecticut, please welcome the host of Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. She is Barbara.
You guys just crack me up. Just
really? I sometimes wonder. I sit at home listening to the show going, were we manic?
We're trying
Should
to get
we be on medication?
We're trying to get Fox to let us be in the debates because I think we would make them... We would be able to point the humor out that's already on the stage. I feel like that would be something we could be useful for.
Well, yeah.
I'm not even watching them. I just
watch I'm not either. Yeah.
Well, you know, I said this in the pre-show, but I'm going to say it on the air, too. They were debating at work. They were like, who won the debate last night? I'm like, the Democrats at this point.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is. So, can I, Barbara? I want to ask you this because I've been through some elections here, but of course, there's you know, when you see more of them, you start to just eventually just go, oh, good God,
right.
You know. But is this one just more surreal than the other ones? Is there just something?
I think they are.
Yeah,
like I've gone through a lot. I won't tell you how many, but a lot of elections, and I was. Kind
one or
of
two
active,
in your lifetime, yeah.
Especially with Kerry and
Bush.
Yeah. Whatever his name was. What's his face? Potato Head?
Yeah. And I actually have never seen a group of people so unfit for office in my life.
It's like, and I'm not throwing this out.
None of these Republicans look like they could even do it.
It's like a bunch of luchadors going up there. I mean, I know Jay Todd, you know, you guys have ties to wrestling. I'm just throwing it out. It's like watching WWE up there. It is ridiculous.
It is political WWE. Yes,
yeah. It is. It's just so it's nuts. And it feels rigged. So let's just move on.
All right. So, do you have poetry for us, Barbara, to save us from this weird political talk we've gone into?
Dropped.
What?
Barbara, call us back right
dropped
now.
Dropped it like it's hot. Yeah, I'm gonna write this.
You offended Barbara is what happened, and she hung up on
really?
You.
Really? Okay. Well,
no
I,
way.
No some way. Some
that
people
was weird.
Some people consider professional wrestling to be
taboo.
Well, no, a curse word.
No, Taboo was no. That's Sabu. It was the wrestler.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you were close. Oh, there she is.
All right, we're
is.
Doing it live. Barbara, are you back with us? Please be back with
that
us.
That was so weird. It was like I think the Republicans.
No, don't say it.
No, don't say
don't
it.
Say
just...
it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
dropped. No, I'm just kidding.
The names should not be said.
All right, yeah,
you might
you know
want to look out for black helicopters.
The NSA is listening right now. Just get into your poetry, please.
Checking my
the
blind
secret down. NASA or SNASA. Is listening in.
Yeah, that was really weird. All of a sudden, it just went dead. It was crazy. It went beep, 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 and then it just, like, went dead.
That's because Barack Obama did not want you to talk about politics on the air. Would you please just share your poetry?
Yes. Actually, could I just share one tiny little haiku? Would it be okay?
Well, if
one
that's what you want to do.
One three-line haiku, and then my poem.
I'm going to leave it up to our producer. You make the call. It's 17 syllables.
One time.
One time.
All it took was 17 syllables for me to get deported from Belize. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thank you. Because I never write haiku, and this time the moon just was so awesome. So here it goes. The full moon rises, a light apricot orb held by the dark sky. Oh, sorry. Look at him, held by the dark night. Sorry, I screwed it up.
Okay.
All right.
That was my haiku, screwed up haiku. And now, this poem began because my poems were rejected by a unnamed journal.
Thank you for
and,
not naming them.
A lot of people came to my defense and held me up and gave me a virtual hug. But then the thoughts and the feelings were still there. So this is called Navigating. And I want to thank Philip and also, yeah, Philip for helping me with this one. Okay, Navigating. Your journey winds through the chamber of your unspoken dreams, stopping at certain potholes where the road is uneven. And you watch the occupants whiz by in your bubble of despair, wondering as their sharp movements pass you, and you gaze at the path ahead, thinking of the pits you might encounter, finding some have been stopped along the way too, dislodging their passengers and forging ahead on their own. Yet you cannot break from this prison of your own making until you find the key. The glass shatters, and you are whole after all. And the world is still in its same orbit with the cosmos in place, the constellations still shining down on the open space as you emerge from the tunnel, your eyes shielded from the glow of the glistening moon to the smooth, unmarred surface of the future.
You know what? They're lost for rejecting you, because I'm telling you,
yeah,
you're a good writer.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't send that poem, but that's the poem that they, you know, it came out.
Because they rejected you. No, I'm saying their loss. Absolutely their loss.
Thank you. I'm actually sending three poems to a contest tomorrow, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Just because you get rejected doesn't mean that you should give up at all. In fact, JT and Michael both know my history in radio. If I'd given up when I got blown out the first time or the first 10 times in radio, I wouldn't be doing the show. So you just got to keep plugging away. Eventually, you'll find what works for you.
I know. I have been rejected. For my book, I got rejected a lot. And so I'm used to that, but it's just, for poetry, it's different. You know, poetry is...
very personal.
Especially the poems that I sent, because they were the poems of loss, and they wanted poems of loss, and I didn't understand why they didn't want those. But you know what? It's they're like, you know, they don't want him tough.
Somebody else
get
will
put somewhere. And actually, a friend of mine did want to publish them, so they are being published in her journal. So
awesome.
The hell with that, you know, place. I won't mention their name.
Good. I'm glad you're not mentioning their name.
No, because that would be maligning a group, and you know, it's not. Nice to malign a group of people.
That's
no.
True. So slander is spoken and libel is written.
So are you wanting to call back for the returning event?
Yes, I will. Definitely.
Awesome.
I have a political poem.
Hopefully not.
Well, as long as it's not hate speech, it fits. And yeah. Honestly, I want to throw out and say this too, because you know we were talking about it here, and for anybody who's listening who might have been offended, we're actually not wanting to make a pin. We actually come from very differing opinions here politically
as
well.
We do very much differ.
We're just making comments on what we see across the board. So, You know, you can be comfortable here with whatever political beliefs you're bringing. That's okay. We're not meaning to step on anything. So we like making fun of everybody equally.
Exactly.
I just think it's funny the way that they're doing it and how these people are reacting. You know, they're politicians.
It's politics in general, Barbara. Exactly. Yeah. They're all crazy. Yeah.
They have their own shows. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. There's more than enough shows talking about that. Let's make this one that
exactly.
Doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So I will call back. Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Plop.
Plop. That reminds me of politics right there. Poseidon's kiss at its finest.
Stop under the sea.
Wow. All right. Yes. We do have another caller on the line. No? Now we do.
Yeah, now we do.
Please welcome from British Columbia, somebody not a slave to our political cycle, she is Cynthia.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. Trying to bring some energy to the show. I've been up since 3 this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Writing?
No. Well, yeah. I
nope.
Did.
Jerking around. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Totally kidding. I'm kidding.
Wow. No, actually, to be honest, I did finish a poem. Last night I was going to try and record, but then I did some promotions for a radio show, and then my wife needed some help with some other things, and not
what
like
other
that,
things?
Retard. Anyway.
That's politically
chores
correct.
Chores around the house.
Yeah.
Chores around the house, yes. Yeah. Dishes, that
man,
sort of thing.
Man jobs.
Wow.
Step
wow.
Away.
Okay.
Step,
so.
What? What?
So anyway, it's a great show. I'm totally enjoying listening to it.
Thank you
for bringing me personally. I'll take responsibility for that. Thank you for bringing us back down to class in like half a second. Thank you for that.
Yes.
You really did.
So my poem tonight is dedicated to Philip because he saw it on Facebook and encouraged me to read it on the show.
Okay.
So my poem is called Baptism. Bowing before Jericho Beach, twilight and rose, I dip delicately into the saline womb of the sea. Let the ocean water flow through my fingertips. Pan across the Pacific horizon to the harbor, where the calls of gulls override the garrulous city behind. Salient pearl-capped waves entice the shore, wend along the winding coast, coalesce in memory, abrade the jagged rocks of my soul. Wash over me as I await entrance. Transcendent touch of grace, trickling across the mosaic of broken shells like a wind chime, sifts the remains, gently letting go of all I never needed. End poem.
Cynthia, as always, great work. Brought back a couple of memories. In fact, I think you inspired a poem out of that piece. I'm going to have to sit in front of my tablet tonight and write.
Wonderful. Maybe we'll hear yours on the show, too.
You know, eventually.
Or next week.
Probably next week. I'm going to try and make it happen.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm looking forward to calling back on the next engagement.
Awesome. Thank you. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio, showing how you bring a out of control manic show back to classiness. I like that.
Very quickly. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, let's see. We got Dennis, Lorraine, Barbara, Cynthia. We've got one more caller this segment. And someone that hasn't been with our show in a while, but God, I am glad to hear from her again. Please welcome Jenny from Georgia.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, welcome back to our show. We've missed you.
Oh, I've missed you guys, too. I had a bit of a downfall there where I couldn't really think of anything. Sounds impossible, right?
No, actually, I go through swings like that all the time, so I totally get it.
Okay, so I am actually going to be reading a poem called Never Just a Tree.
Okay.
And it's about having someone who will always be there for you. But at least you think that. You'll see at the end.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Never just a tree. You were always someone there for me. In the darkest hours, you helped me find a dream. I could be carefree, fearless, all that you were to me. A tree, a sanctuary of branches covering me deep. No matter how hard I fell, you caught me in your nested arms. There you stand, strong enough for the both of us. I go to you to confess what I must and cry out in your bark. I talk to you and you hear, you have my heart. One day, drawn in by my sorrow, I stopped by to remember the best. Your beauty was mine. You've grown, and so have I. Your leaves took me backwards in time. I fell in love with your soul all over. Now my sorrows can rest. With the beauty I hold dear, I wonder what of tomorrow. Hope you'll always be there, you, my symbol of love. Nevertheless, rooted to ground, breathless by our surroundings, there's no need to make a sound. The power you have sends wonders around. A number of wonderful years passed, yet one day I felt lost. I went on a secret walk to look back, then stopped. The beauty of you was no longer there. So I felt just how branches do in the frost. Bare, empty, cold. On my knees, on the earth, I wondered why I was so bold. I thought you would always be there. How could you go away from the world? A lonely heart, no roots, no seeds, no one filling up next to me. You will no longer be there. How could you be cast down, my love? My love, you were a tree. Where are you in your beauty?
Jenny, don't starve us out so much next time. You got to call back a little more often than you have. Even if you read an old poem, I'm okay with that. Or if you read a poem you've already read before.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that. I have plenty.
Awesome, Jenny. I thank you very much for your contributions to our show, and I hope you call back for the return engagement as well.
Okay. I won't be calling back tonight because I have to go pick up my fiance from work.
Uh-huh.
But I will be calling back on my next show. Okay.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Travel safe, Jenny.
I'm so glad I got to read tonight, y'all.
I'm glad you got to read tonight, too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That was Jenny on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
All right.
Do you have a submission?
I do.
I'll let you when read, do I? And I'll do one next segment. How about
Ooh.
That?
All right.
All right.
As long as you think you can handle it. Can you really hold it that long?
I can.
Okay.
Good.
Good, because that's what's happening. Okay, so here we go. Let me get my my internet browser is being kind of weird. It's not letting me scroll properly, so I'm just going to double check before I get into this and can't do it. You might just have to go. This
all right,
is acting
I'll just
so
go.
Weird.
All
yeah.
right.
Okay.
If it works, I'll
all right.
let you know after.
This was written in 1993, shortly before I met my wife. I was recovering from a long relationship. This is entitled Pen, Ink, and Motion. I write my words today upon a Victorian desk. I sit here and think of you, wondering if I will see you again. Wondering just how you feel. Loneliness runs me through. You mean the world to me. No one knows just how it is, for I hide my feelings in walls. Are you destined to be with me, or just a simple fantasy? Who will know until fate calls? I write my words today, my little rhymes, all for you, just to show you how I feel, that my love for you runs deep, powering on through my veins, an emotion that is real. You know not the man I am now, for I have changed since our parting. Alas, I think that it is for the better. I write my words for you, my every little poetic phrase, every single letter. What is the meaning of this work? I write in a great hall today. The wording took so much time, you can believe that it is real. The love that burns within me, I also want you as mine. And then I met Penny and forgot all about her.
isn't that how relationships work?
Well, that's how true love works, actually. So.
Well, I can see that. But I think relationships in general, though, too. I mean, there's been plenty of times where you sit there and you go, this is the only thing ever. And then, like, 2 months later, you're like, oh, yeah, I've kind of
this
forgot
is
about
the
that.
Only thing this ever. Is,
well, I eventually just stopped.
Wait, now I'm peaking.
Exactly.
No, wait, yeah. Now I'm peaking.
Yeah. Well, see, and normally I would do the whole, you know yeah. this is the best thing. And then eventually I think I just, you know, grew a nice layer of ice over my heart, and now I'm just a bastard. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Anyway, here we go.
You've got
you found
heart.
One.
Huh? I do. I finally get the browser to, like, not okay. crawl at a 1995 HTML code. Right. Here we go.
You mean a 96 baud modem.
Sure. Anyway.
Sorry. He doesn't do geek and dork talk like we do.
Sorry.
All right. So, this is from Fulya Ilyich, and it is called Sonata. As the orchestra of being, playing the piece called life, percussions creating the ground, setting on the earth with the touch of solid hands, strings participating to the movement, initiating the first meeting as their tones vibrate through ears. Brass blowing odor to the air, savor of vitality spreading through the lips, and woodwinds letting it all flow through like a hollow bamboo in the body. Yes, in that mystery, what a privilege being invited to participate to the sonata as an audience. And that was called Sonata. That's from Fulya Ilyich. I'm sorry if I'm totally mispronouncing the name. That was a first-time submitter to our show.
Holy cow.
Wonderful piece. And if you want to submit your poetry, just on the website, you're on worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just enter it in the contact form and send it there. We'll do it.
So that does it for that segment. We've got empty phone lines, and I think we need to fill them. There's lots of people trying to call in tonight. So
let's do it.
Now's the time to call in 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
We want you. All right. We got four callers that segment, which triggers the poetic battle royal we call the return engagement.
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 Engagement. But we've got four great callers that we must attend to. Like this gentleman, calling all the way from across the pond, he is Titus.
Good morning, or should I say good evening, everyone. How are you? Good?
Doing well, thank you. I'm glad to hear your voice, my friend.
Yes, it was lucky. I just looked at the clock in bed and I thought, hey, it's 3:20. It's already into the show, so I thought I'd get up, and I just felt lively enough to phone up as well.
Awesome, thank
nice
you.
Nice to hear you. Nice to get onto the show again. It's beautiful. Anyway, I'll get straight into it. I'm not renowned for free verse, but and this came about because I'm actually putting my book together, and I just kind of like just a lucky dip, and of all the poems a troubled pen, with no thoughts left, the fact remains we're all screwed up. On paper, noted down, answerable to ditties, thoughts are like cities, they are there 1 minute, gone the next. Curious is it, a pen lacking, as the last ditch effort compromises patience. Thought to suggest the end, be parting on good terms. And you, paper, are crumpled about. It was your idea to make your acquaintance. The fact remains that when I'm ready, I'll have further use for when there's convenience. Okay, the end.
Definitely a flavor I'm not used to from you, brother, but I really liked it.
Well, Bukowski was very, very humble. He was just a common man, really, and he just found this pen, thought he'd start writing. He didn't have any luck with it, but I could imagine with a dry pen, he kind of like scraped the words into that paper and just read what I had just said to you. So that was just a bit of spontaneity, really.
Beautiful. I liked it.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Titus, anyway, as always, thank you very much for your contributions to our show. And really, to be honest, thank you for giving me the idea to do this kind of a show.
Well, I think you've scarred that into me because I've still got the first time when I called. It was such a lovely, I think I'd shocked you into thinking, hey, there's a guy from, UK calling. And I've still got that recording. It just brings a little lump in my heart anyway.
I'm telling you.
It's always nice getting on. Thank you very much. And I'm on the chat now. I can see all the lovely people there that are, you seem to expect now. It's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. That was Titus on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Wow. Has it been 3 years?
Over 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, over 3 years. Yeah,
that's it.
And it just seems like a blink. It really does. Especially when you've got great people that call and share up poetry. And much like this young lady here, please welcome from Minnesota, she is Mariah.
Hello!
Hello, and welcome to our show.
It's been a while.
Well, a couple of weeks.
Like a month.
Well, like I say, it seems like a blink. So, how are things going for you?
Good. My appetite is back.
Beautiful. You still writing away? Or are you finished? You going to read it?
Yeah, I quit writing. I'm just calling you to say that you guys suck.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don't worry. J-Todd tells us that before we go on the air every time. No, I'm totally kidding. He doesn't do that. It's the Tom Brady approach. You guys all suck. You're only here because of me. Let's go out there and win. I'm sorry. It's not true. I'm just making things up as a Bronco fan. Let's just throw that out.
That's a good point. Yeah, you do.
Isn't that how your whole show goes?
Pretty much.
Basically, we just
all
say stuff.
All by the seat of our pants, yeah. And we pray that it's funny, yes.
We turn it on and just say stuff. Mostly, that's kind of like my life, actually, when I think about it. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Well, I have been writing a few things. I had a major bout of writer's block there for a few weeks. But I have gotten a couple poems written.
All right.
And these are ones that I'm putting together as one of you guys had the idea to write poems to my baby.
Yeah.
For each day of my pregnancy and then publish it and give it to him on their 18th birthday.
Yeah.
So I have added two more poems to that.
All right.
So, okay. This is Thoughts of Today. Today, you have kicked me. I didn't feel it. the doctors, you are small. Smaller than you should be, but I have seen you perform acrobatic routines within the confines of my uterus, and as you flip around in a ghost image on a screen, I can sense part of who you are. Today, I have listened to your heartbeat, as I have every day for a week. The recording of you on my phone makes me smile in a way I never imagined that I would. It isn't something I can describe, but it is love. It is love for you. For the one I have never touched or felt. For the one whom all I have is a growing tummy and a smaller appetite. For the one who has dropped inches off my thighs and added them to my waist. For the one I will cry for. And the one I will die for. My child, in a few more weeks, they will tell me a statement of fact about who you are. However, if one day you realize they were wrong, that's fine with me. I will love you just the same. Boy or girl, you will always be my baby. Yes, even when you are 9 or 13 or 35. Run like the wind, my darling. Freedom awaits you in the light. Until then, my nights are lit up by the dreams you send to me. Vivid illustrations of life and beauty. Are you trying to tell me something? Regardless, I will share my words with you, as you already have my love. End poem.
Mariah? As always, your work just gets me. I really enjoy it. Did you find out if it's a boy or girl yet?
I find out in 11 days.
All right, so I have a suggestion if it's a boy. It's going to be a big name, though. It's Michael J. Half Squatch. Lichty.
I just want you to imagine this, Mariah. Because when your son is in second grade, and they're like, "What's your name?"
Michael J.
Michael J. Half Squatch. Well,
maybe,
either
maybe for our second boy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We've already got a name.
Good. Good, because that's like a very difficult thing, apparently.
Uriah Heep Lichty.
Oh, my God. No, no one named your child after Uriah Heep. Really? Good God. Let's choose the most unsavory characters in literature and name our children after them.
I thought you meant the rock band. What do I know? Uriah, as always, thank you for calling our show.
You bet.
We'll hear from you in a return engagement.
Awesome.
That was Mariah and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I really like the term return engagement. The way that we can, it's you know, of course we do poetry, so we play on words, and I think the return engagement was a nice a fancy way of saying it. Every time I picture it, I picture drinking tea with your pinky in the air, or the Big Lebowski when they're talking about where to put the ashes from someone who's been.
I'm glad you guys thought of that too, because my original incarnation was calling it sloppy seconds. So return engagement is so much more classy.
I remember that conversation actually. I think you said that, and I might have spit out whatever drink I had in my mouth.
He did do a spit take.
That's a terrible idea. Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Someone that never does spit takes, not on the radio. Please welcome Philip.
Guys, startled me out of my drunkenness.
We scared him sober.
Philip, that was out, you right, just received right? The best intro I have ever heard in my life.
Wait till the rebroadcast, Philip. You'll love it.
I'm just glad this isn't visual, you know?
Oh, so are we. No one would watch this show. No one wants to see this. Yeah.
Mr. J. Todd Underhill, before I delve into my bit tonight, I wanted to let you know, I just wanted to admit this openly, I have really particularly bad handwriting after all those years of writing prescriptions for myself. And what I'm trying to say is when I sent your copy of the book, I had my better lady do this for me. And when it came back, as it did not arrive at your doorstep, I looked at the address, and there was an entire section missing, and I asked her, honey, there's this whole, like, piece of information that is not included in the address, and she told me, and this is exactly why I cannot get angry at her, she said, I'm trying to stay in the lines.
Nice. I like that.
She's so focused on that, she forgot everything else. So, at any rate, I will get out the copy to you as soon as I possibly can, sir. And,
no problem. We're very patient. I'm looking forward to reading your work. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to have it and actually read it and be able to, I guess, ponder. Ponder.
Yes.
Thoughtfully ponder.
Ponder is a wonderful word, and I appreciate that anybody would want to ponder my work, and I appreciate your patience with my long segue into my cute story about my lady who, well, she has better handwriting than I do, and she definitely stays in the line, so.
Yeah, and she's a special woman because literally she chose a poet to love, which means she's going to be immortal.
Well, it's kind of like Highlander, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. There can only be one poet lover.
I dig it. Well, I'm going to admit, too, on this poem, I just let myself get carried away. I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm going to give it a shot anyhow. So here's my offering for before the return engagement. The title, Brief Thoughts About Comparative Literature from the Oral to Written Traditions. And here it goes, fellers. Burning in reticence is the lifelong price. Fiery visions not easily transcribed into common parlance. Chasing the longevity of stars, red passion and blue intellect emit their own conversely warm and coldly opposite light. Bacchus, who sips long stem years grown vibrant on tangled vines, speaks with inebriated inspiration as he lumberingly wanders nameless among aimless passers-by in the dirty anybody's streets, finds brief refuge among the gritty poor, reiterated in kaleidoscope eyes of the LSD counterculture who shine on their laissez-faire hippie love innocence. One embraced among the ancients, the latter ignored by modernity, though I have celebrated both, walking hand in hand after sultry midnights with no dread nor worries about paternity, spilling my own drizzled iams, ripened seeds fallen upon virgin pure pages in an attempt at blossomed poetry that forgivably regards lust's failures, counterpoised by love's covenant kept alive through inspired voices that raucously bellow, sober or drunkenly, forged in the longevity of warm mouths or branded indelibly into consciousness by fiery pens. And there it is, my friends.
Very well done, my friend. As always, man, I am so appreciative of you calling our show. Thank you for sharing our work.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, J. Todd, and all of you guys. I am blessed to know you, and I look forward to the return engagement, as always. So.
We do definitely as well. And, Philip, really, I mean, genuinely, we mess around a lot on the show, but it really means a lot to be able to kind of come together every week and work on this stuff and give this work to the world as well. So thank you for being a part of that. It means a lot.
I appreciate it. I really do. And honestly, and I'll be brief, it means a lot to me. For the first time in my life, I feel like I belong to some group, and I have never been someone who belongs to anything. So I am happy to be counted among you. So
oh, you have a spot here, Philip. As long as we're doing a radio show, you're welcome to call in, my friend.
All right. Heck yeah. Right. Cheers.
Cheers. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
It's like
a progressive broadcast for your modern. Anyway, no. Flashback.
I pictured you for some reason, and I don't know why. I've never pictured you like this before, and I don't think I ever will again. Laying in a bed with the covers over, you'd be like, come on in and join our family.
Hi, JC.
No, no. Hey, welcome to our show. Wow.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am doing pretty well.
I am so glad you were able to get back in. I'm sorry that you dropped while we were taking the other callers.
Well, sometimes I drop because I start out on my cell phone because I'm away from home when I call in, and then I flip over onto my house phone.
Aha! Secret divulged.
Yeah, secret divulged.
All right. What do you have for us?
Poem I wrote for a contest on All Poetry, called Leaving Home. And this is actually kind of part of my parents' stories. So it's written from the male point of view of my father. So here we go. Leaving home. I closed the door 1,000 times. First on leaving that cramped two-story Victorian house full of sibling laughter and any country boy athlete Mama had room to take in. I left that house headed for dreams in college, a football scholarship and cheers from the stands. But I took a piece of home with me. I took her letters, those of my best friend. When the dreams grew bigger than my ego, I joined the Marines and truly left home for 6 months. Parting in anger, silence, excruciating silence, heavily sat and immovable, until returning home on my knees, I married her, dragging her with me east coast to west, expanding our household of love became the imminent goal. Over and over again, I closed the door with a kiss, but my silver-eyed home stayed close, firmly nestled under my chest, no matter how far the body strayed, even as our children nestled under hers. Now I'll leave home one last time, one last goodbye. This body is too worn to go on. I pray to God when it's time, he lets me watch over and love my silver-eyed home. In poem.
As always, well done.
Thank you.
And you're going to be calling back for the return engagement as well?
Probably so. I don't know exactly what I'm going to read if I do, but...
Well, you have a little bit of time. We're going to do a submission, and then we'll open it up for the return engagement.
Okay.
JC, as always, thank you for sharing in our show as well.
Thank you.
That was JC on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. You know... We took this week, we took off our normal scheduled meeting, and I've been spending some time in our older recordings working on a project, and I am just very thankful that you guys are who you are and keeping the show afloat as you have been. You guys are amazing. Both of you.
Well, thank you.
Patience of saints. That's really the answer we've had.
Yes.
If I don't say, what would Mother Teresa do, it wouldn't happen.
What would Mother Teresa do?
What would she do? What would she do? And, you know, that's how it works. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, man. It's been a pleasure. And let's keep going. We've got some big stuff we need to talk about, though, after this segment.
We do?
Some big things next week.
Next week.
And some other things we're working on. You got to remember this, man. That's a big deal for you.
It's a big deal for you.
Yeah, we got the ball's coming next week, Cinderella, and you have to get ready.
Yeah, put on some gas.
Jeez, man, you'd think someone else was formatting the book.
4 mice, 2 lizards, a swan, and a pumpkin.
In a partridge, in a pear tree.
And, the doctors did say that is uncommon to see in, the patterns of your leg hair. That is weird.
Okay.
All right.
And there might be something from France. causing it.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I'll
so anyway.
Try and keep the away from
so.
That.
I'm just throwing things out there, guys. All right, here we go. So this is a submission. I'm going to completely change directions here because this is a serious piece. It's from a longtime friend of the show, Steve Junka, and this is called Lessons of Life in Vietnam. We started to get ready around dusk. Dusk is when the shadows drew near. Near as what we were to our weapon and war dog. War dog was our trust. Trust is what we had in each other above all. All is what we gave, even though we were very young. Young and youth left us without even saying goodbye. Goodbye was what we had to say to our canine friend. Friend is what we learned and truly knew something about. That about says it all. And that is Lessons of Life from Vietnam from Steve Junka. He also added the note, thanks again for letting me share things that are a part of me, things that need to be told, and yes, they are therapeutic somehow. Poetry makes possible expression of things too difficult to talk about. I enjoy listening to the other contributors each week, and he says that we always do a great job, which, thank you, Steve. You always do a great job, and so does everybody else. So, thank you so much for everything you do. Yeah.
All the poets, just bring it to the show. All right. So that brought to mind, I wanted to say something. We always support our troops and give praise to our troops, but there's a lot of people in this country, soldiers being some of them, that put it on the line every day, and I'm not going to use the explicative I was going to protect and serve their citizens, whether it be firefighters, police officers, soldiers, anybody that hangs it all out and puts it all on the line to make sure someone else is safe, they're our heroes.
And that's right, yeah.
I just want to say thank you to each and every one. I know that there are some poets out there that actually serve and protect as well. Mr. Donnelly up in Alaska, thank you for what you do. And take the time. And firefighter, police officer, ambulance worker, hospital employee, nurse, they work hard to keep us safe and worthy of our applause. All right, that's my public service announcement. Now we can open it up for the return engagement. So, whether you've called the show before or not tonight, you have...
Not you. I was showing
him. Oh, something. Okay.
Yeah.
Whether you've called the show tonight or not, you can call in now because this is the poetic free-for-all we call the return engagement.
Engagement!
Call down, 720-240-9766. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic, and we've got the return engagement all queued up. I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
You pumped?
8 poets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, what'll happen?
We're going to proliferate poetics. Easy for me to say. where did that tagline come from? Oh, yeah, our first run.
Yeah. How many shows did you do that before you gave it up?
I think like 6.
Humble poet.
Yeah, after I...
proliferate. Yeah, because he was doing it to make you angry.
Pundit.
Yeah, he does that to just pop his peas.
Exactly. The prosaic pundit proliferating poetics. Someone else that proliferates poetics, poignantly, please welcome Lorraine from New York. Lorraine, hold on for one moment.
All right, wait.
All right.
Are we okay?
Bringing Lorraine online, take 2. Please welcome from New York, she is Lorraine.
One ringy dingy, 2 ringy dingy. Oh, no.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Okay. I was thinking of Michael with this. This is, I want to share this with you guys. It's from a book called Sunshine Days and Foggy Nights. It's by James Kavanaugh.
All right.
He's my other favorite poet besides Merritt Malloy. And I chose this poem in the book, so I'll get right down to it. It's called My House Burned Down Today. My house burned down today, and my memories are charred and oily. The letters I saved, the birthday cards I couldn't throw away, my books poured through broken windows and lay dying in the driveway like old friends I couldn't help anymore. It was the only house I ever knew. 90-year-old survivor of a great earthquake, friendly protector of two gentle ghosts, home of secret passages, of Victorian alcoves and giant windows with cornices and wainscoting and a magic door, redwood beams and vaulted ceilings, plaster molding made at leisure, and two-by-fours that really measured two-by-four. My house burned down today, and strangers gathered round to watch. The shadows I had seen before but never talked to, lashed together like primitives to adore the mystic power of fire. Watching in silence the greedy flames devour my house, which was selected like some gentle virgin from the people to pay homage to the savage anger of the gods, to atone for the misery of the nation, the poverty and hunger, the scars and broken loves, the accumulated anguish of the generations, and I stood center stage at the sacrifice, like the brother of some wild and prophetic Savonarola, while my neighbors wondered kindly if I had enough insurance. My house burned down today, the ultimate terror, hungry and relentless. The fire crackles so and laughs. It roars and mocks and hisses, but most of all it weeps and groans. And when it disappears and the people go and the firemen finish their reports, I sift through the oozing rubble with new respect for the survivors, the isolated picture that should have perished, the scorched shirt I only wore on lonely days until I knew why the ancients fashioned evil gods to match the good ones. It was my home where I made my plans and shed my private tears. And above the hiss of the water and the hacking of axes, I heard its unattended sobs. My house burned down today, and I sit like some sulking Job, without a god to curse or bless, with only a charred friend, its gentle arms now blackened, its voice still, its face stained with the smudge of unforgettable tears. Only a house, I say, but even as I say it, my own tears come. Because a house lives somewhere in childhood, where a mother's love relieves the pain, and morning comes. Now the lights are out and my smell is gone. The water taps stand solemnly like buzzards. The hanging plants are grotesque stalks against charred timbers, and the roof is mercifully ripped open to admit the sky. End poem.
As always, well read.
He was an ex-Catholic priest, actually, and he left the priesthood to become a writer.
Really? Those two are exclusive?
The pay is just about the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's far more consistent as a priest.
Okay.
Far more consistent.
I think it is, you know. And, of course, with nuns, it's whatever you have in the habit. But
It's all about the habits you build. Yeah, when you're a nun. Oh, God.
It's like working with 12-year-olds.
You do it so well, JT.
Yeah. He merely tolerates our complete lack of maturity. What the? What are you talking about?
That was almost the magic event bomb.
That's the crossings you have. All that creativity in one room. My God.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You'd be surprised. Mariah inspired something from us that we're going to debut next show.
This place is it's like a fiery inferno, like a star of creativity. We've got enough gas. All we need is the ignition.
Oh my God! Just the ignition. Oh my God.
Yep. Bunch of hot air.
I was
going
to say. I know I'm full of it.
I'm part Irish and part Italian,
you guys,
so
enjoy the rest of whatever the show has, and I will. You know, when I record it later, you know, I can't get on live chat. But anyhow, thanks for picking me up, and have a great week. You can be on next week.
Of course, we will. It's the birthday show for three poets at least.
Take care now, and it's good hearing all of you.
All right, we'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, bye.
That was Loriana, World Poetry Open Mic, The Next Evolution in Poetry Radio.
Sorry.
You have nothing to apologize for. All right. So, from good old NY, let's travel down to the good old KY and visit with Mr. Kelly. Phillip. I did not say that. You're the one that put that on there.
Oh, good Lord.
It's like working with 12-year-olds.
What up, fellers and fellatios? I mean, how are you?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
I am well. And, I talk to myself while I wait until I get on air, and I was just randomly thinking, this is halfway serious, what's the best revenge?
I don't know.
Personally, I think the best revenge is make someone think they've gone crazy.
That's really wonderful, and I was being half rhetorical, but I was thinking love. It's that simple. The best revenge is love.
You think so?
I think so. I think absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big answer to all the world's problems, because we all have revenge in our hearts to some extent, and I don't even need to be like, quasi-preacherly here, but, love, seriously, no matter whatever is, handed out to you, love them. I'm serious, just surprise them, and I'm blabbing.
No, I like it. Love is always the answer, no matter what the question is.
No matter what it is, it's always love. Mm-hmm. And on that note, too, I just want to give a shout-out to Barbara. I'm going to give out a shout-out to Mary, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Jolene. These three ladies, and I think there are several others, that called the Lexington Public Library after they had rejected my free donation of my book.
isn't that just exactly how this world is with when it comes to literature? You work your ass off. Here is my book I have worked so hard on. Yeah, we're good.
I don't know if I would call it literature, but I appreciate that you say that. But the point is, it really means the world to me that these ladies really stuck up for me. They called them, and apparently now my book is going to be shelved at three of the branches in the Lexington Public Library, and that really
is awesome.
A thrill to me. I couldn't ask for better news.
I had somebody once suggest when I first came out with my first book, they're like, you should reverse shoplift.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's a real thing.
And put your books on their shelves and leave them with no price.
No, it's a real, especially if you have the skew. Yeah, it's a real thing. There's lots of authors I know, actually some pretty successful ones, who've done that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right. No, I hear you. And I think that's also a word to the younger writers. Embrace the rejection. It's just like that whole revenge thing. Embrace the rejection with some amount of love and just keep doing it, man. Don't ever give up. It sounds like, a Galaxy Quest. Never give up.
It's true. in almost every setting, and there's a very obvious setting where this doesn't apply, but in almost every setting, it's a good thing to pretend you don't hear the word no.
I'm not,
they both reacted like I was saying a bad joke. I'm actually really not. I'm saying something very direct. But I think you're right. You get told no as almost just like a par for course when you're trying to do something. And I think the more you ignore it, it's better in certain cases.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. No is right. The new yes? I don't know.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'm just... You guys can act like 12-year-olds, but I pop off one. And
oh, I'm just going to start quoting you then. I'm just going to start quoting you if you're going to take this high horse thing, man.
No, I'm just blowing
you. No, you're not. I'm going to do it. I'm hitting you, man.
Do you have a poem?
Mr. Mature here.
I can never say no to you guys. So.
I know you are, but what am I?
I'm so glad that I am around people of my own age group.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You guys have made me crack up. So I'll get to it because I know there are many other more worthy writers waiting for their airtime, and I'll get to it. all right, short title, Meta Notes, meta as in metaphysics after, Meta Notes Concerning the Act of Poetry. And here it goes. Comprise a thought with breath, calmly in and out through my chest, threaded by a rhythmic diaphragm. At ease as Madame Entropy invariably presents disorder in every system, even those unknown
that will perchance be discovered. So mosaics into this blank space, conceived as songs or broken lines, held firm in their dutiful place, like blazing red, blood-inflamed seeds, cradled inside an unopened pomegranate that resembles the sacred heart, multifoliate and sanguine. Let trespassers decay beneath the sun, wizened on severed autumn limbs. Seasonal clouds that slowly fade, similar to slumberous consciousness. Every word, fragments of a hymn sung under astral firmaments. Walk along the tenuous horizon, a bright-orbed lemon gibbous moon, patiently anticipating imaginations who willingly read my phrases offered as penance and wisdom's simulacrum. And there it is, fellers.
Now that you've done the title, did you want to read the poem? I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding.
That's about as good as, hey, why don't you pull my finger? You know, just, I appreciate
Oh, that happens every week, Philip.
In the studio.
Every week.
Every week.
And guess who does it? Mr. Mature over here.
Well, I'm just glad I'm not there to smell it. So,
yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly.
He who smelt it dealt it. Anyway.
Oh, dude.
So Philip, I really appreciate the attention and the applause and everything, and I look forward to next week, because next week, I think, if I understand correctly, is the midnight segment of our show, or your show, your guy's show.
You know, yes, we and have asked
yes.
to die.
And
yes.
it's someone's birthday show.
Well, there's three poets that have a birthday.
And guess what? I'm writing a special After Dark birthday poem.
Oh, geez. That's going to be mature.
Is it your birthday, Mr. Amadeus?
No,
it's mine. I'm ending my 45th trip around the sun and beginning my 46th trip around the sun.
Mr. Underhill, it's your birthday. Well, then I definitely have to get that book to you and maybe put something else in there for a happy birthday surprise.
Oh, not happy birthday. Anything but happy birthday.
Because I'm always premature. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You guys have been wonderful. Have a great night, and cheers, and thank you for everything.
Cheers, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Actually, I loved his response just now. You're like, cheers. He's like, yeah, right. Okay.
I said, right on, brother. All right.
Yeah, sure. It's what you mean. Good night.
All right. Let's bring this to some classiness here, guys.
All right.
We're going to go from Kentucky up to British Columbia. Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back to our show. You were missed. As you probably heard, you were missed a lot.
So my next one is a really short piece. It's a tanka, so it's a 5-line love poem.
All right.
Last days of summer, our lips tingle with citrus. Your ghost vanishes as the moon aches for the night, circling the earth to come back. End poem.
Very well done.
Thank you. I usually do free verse, but every once in a while it's nice to rise to the challenge.
Well, you know, forms, all forms are kind of like paintbrushes in a artist's repertoire. You can use them for different purposes, and I think that one fit very well.
Thank you.
Cynthia, as always, I'm impressed with your work.
Okay, and looking forward to the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. See, that's what I like. We can go manic for a while. We can calm down. We can enjoy some poetry. We go manic for a little bit more. Someone that always brings good poetry to our show. Please welcome from Texas, she is Juanita.
Hello.
Hello. Are you playing? Are you playing our show in the bathroom? Because it sounded like you were in a concert hall. Maybe I don't know.
was drinking some water, listening to that lady say her poor poems. But I was drinking some water right in the middle of that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a poem. It's called What Color Are Memories?
All right.
It says, what color are memories? Some think they are dark. Some say they're light. I say all my memories are the color of life. Some memories are green, like the meadows and trees where once I did play. When in daylight I'm dreaming in heaven, I stay. I dream all the colors, but my mind only sees the colors of heaven every now and again. They are pink like the buttercups that summon my spring, most magnificent dancers that sway in the breeze. A vision of butterflies that pauses in mid-flight, with the color of rainbows, a most beautiful sight. A feast of bright color and a fragrance so sweet, inviting my senses to relive all I've seen. In thoughts of what was and was never to be are colored in the pages of my heart's memory. When in daylight I'm dreaming, in heaven I be. That's it.
Yeah! Heck yes, Juanita. Very well done.
Thank you.
As always, keep calling our show. I really enjoy your work.
Thank you. You all have a good night.
You as well. That was Juanita on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Man, they're coming out of the woodworks all over the globe sharing their work with us.
Well, that's a good thing because we are World Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you, tonight is a special, special night. Someone that's going to make it extra special, please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara.
Oh, goodness, you caught, you know, you snuck up
Surprise,
on
you're on the air.
You know what it is, Barbara?
This was the alternative to us sneaking into your house and putting a microphone in front of you and then saying surprise.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God, no one wants to come into my house.
No, we're like waiters who wait until your mouth is full to be like, everything good? Fine, awesome, mm-hmm. Walk mm-hmm. off.
Yeah, that's what we do.
No, I was browsing. I was going to do a political poem, but then I thought, no, I don't think so, because it's not that kind of night. So,
okay.
I'm going to do a poem I already read, but I don't think anyone remembers. It's called Trust. I don't think you remember Trust.
Okay.
Delicate as the thin skin of a balloon and given as a gift to only a few, this precious commodity, so treasured by many as the only thing worth saving, is long-lasting if the one who you give it to returns it like a welcoming smile, and you hone it with honesty and truth with the few who you deign to bestow this gift upon. Yet occasionally, and when that happens and your own judgment somehow falters, you give it to a fraud, a charlatan dressed as a prince who dangles your faith in a cruel game, and you are duped as if you were blindfolded, and suddenly the world is off kilter and black is white while you wander aimlessly in the morass, left in the vacuum of the air sucking out of your life. In that moment, nothing matters, for you no longer put your faith in anything. Where once you were an open book, with your arms wide to all, you become closed and withdrawn. You roll up your welcome mat, and with the hard-won knowledge of ignominious defeat, you are bereft of the light that once lit you, and you struggle to find the road back to the one you once were, and the pieces of the sanctity of trust float around you in a circle of deceit. As you poke at them and try to patch it back together, to move on broken but mended and ready to climb that long hill back to where belief was more than a word. End poem.
Very well done. And who says who? No one remembers that? Heck yes, I remember that, and it's a good poem.
That was early to, well, it was last year.
Yeah, 2015. I want to say February, or March. March. I edited a lot of shows. I don't quote me as gospel. I'd have to go back and look for it.
I don't remember. Sorry. I think it was before Memorial Day.
It was.
Yeah, because I wrote the Memorial Day poem after that. So, no.
Barbara?
I was going to do the political poem, but I'll save that for next week when we're kind of raucous. So.
All right. Sounds fair. As always, thank you for all that you do for our show.
You're welcome. And I just want to tell you guys, you just always make my night and my week. You know, like I don't feel right when I can't come here on a Friday night.
Thank you.
You know, we're going to the theater tomorrow night. Thank goodness. It's exciting. We're going to see Smart People with Josh Jackson and someone else. For my daughter's birthday, and I'm so glad it's on a Saturday, so I don't have to miss this.
That's really the best thing. You plan everything else for every other day of the week. You got six others you can hit, but keep Fridays
exactly.
for your family.
I could never miss it.
They
no,
do matinees
never.
On Sunday, Barbara.
Yeah.
No, Barbara, that means a lot to hear you say. Thank you so much. We're happy to have you every Friday, and it means a lot to us to have you share your work and be here as well.
Well, I love doing it, and I hope you guys got to listen to my show this week, because it was really good.
I have not gotten back to the rebroadcast yet. I have so much in my listening queue, you'd be surprised.
I know. I do, too. Mm-hmm. It piles up.
It does.
I mean, being on Red River Radio, there are three shows that I usually listen to, plus my own. So it's been piling up because I've been working, and now that I'm not working on these days, I can actually listen and everyone's show because they keep sending me the shows and I can't listen and I feel bad. You know, I know how you feel. So anyway, I'm going to get off so that other people can get on. And,
all right.
Have a great week, guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
See you next week. Okay, bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I love it when our family checks in like this. It's, you know, everybody says thank you for putting on this forum and that they really enjoy it and they couldn't see their Friday nights without it and blah, 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 which means a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I couldn't see my Friday nights without all of you either. It's really on our nights off. I sit at home and listen to the Best Of show because I am there. You're all my family. And I love each and every one of you. And that's the guys in the studio, too. Thank you guys all very much.
You're welcome. We love you, too.
And someone else that we love, please welcome from Texas, she is JC.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Thanks. Just a little shout out. I have opened another little group in Facebook that I called WOPM Poets and Friends.
Nice.
So a bunch of us that are regularly in the chat room are already linked in, but if somebody wants to get linked in, I am look for it, and you should be able to join in.
Beautiful. If you could throw me into that group, I would love to join you guys.
I did. I think I sent you a message there. So
beautiful. And then that way when the show ends, the chat can keep on going even throughout the week.
Right. Right. So, hopefully,
beautiful.
A lot of us, and, yeah.
I will be okay. Checking that when I get home.
I already have messages popping up on my phone as I'm speaking from people that have already gone.
Nice. And let me guess, your poetry is on your phone, too, which means you're getting interruptions on your poetry.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, hopefully, it won't be that big. I'll still be able to read my poetry.
Okay.
But if I have a natural pauses, that could be it, too. The poem I'm going to read this time is called Silent Disrespect. And by the way, I've started kind of losing track, so now I'm going back in on my site, and when I read, I'm putting when I've read them here.
Nice.
Just so I don't keep repeating the same poems over and over to y'all. But this one is called Silent Disrespect. In silence, there is a message louder than any non-utterance. No words could ever be so cruel. Word demon gone mute, this skin is soft to touch, yet impenetrable to your sword, which now withers in your hand. The visage slips. Your craven ways show true. Risk of confrontation, your defeat. May it crown your head. Inevitable endpoint shown, clearing your armor till glare blinded you. That sound was my shield going up, not my heart breaking. Black bile and sex, killing your romantic posies in undercurrents of blood and thought. You try to disguise and normalize. Disrespect stands coldly, quietly as a breakfront, keeping warm winds of friendship at bay. Never will before come again.
JC,
I don't know why I couldn't get this job tonight, but it just wasn't coming.
You know, I have that with words on times too. At times, yeah. See, as I just proved,
there's a product for that. We'll hear about it. Maybe
we'll
it's
hear
a
about
sponsorship
next week.
Yeah.
A brand new sponsorship we're going to have.
Yeah. So,
that wasn't awkward or anything. JC, thank you for sharing on our show.
No, I have these Facebook things flashing up. Sorry.
Oh, I had these things flashing too, but the doctor says they're flashbacks from taking too much LSD back in the 80s, yeah. But that's all right.
And
we're
the police
okay
say
now.
To keep the clothes on, J-Todd.
The poet's joining in on the group so that we can keep the chat going. So.
Beautiful. We can add everybody that loves the show into that group, and we can have just this love fest all throughout the week waiting for our family reunion.
Ew! Ew! Love fest into family reunion. Those are words I don't want to hear put together.
A poet reunion.
Yeah, see?
There we go.
I'm not even going to go there. I was going to go 12-year-old and I stopped. JC, as always, thank you for calling our show.
I'm proud of you.
That was JC on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
That's a remarkable amount of restraint on your part.
I'm telling you, I really had to chew on my tongue to stop from saying that.
Yeah.
But someone that never chews on their tongue, please welcome... Up, please welcome. Yeah, see, I'm trying to segue too quickly. Please welcome from Minnesota. She is Mariah.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
So, you don't have poetry for us. You just called to tell us we suck, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
I live for that. All right.
Glad we covered that. Good night, everybody.
No, I'm just kidding. No, go ahead. Do you have something you'd
like
to share?
I feel like I should hang up now.
No, don't hang up. Don't hang up.
One of these days I should do that.
I think one of these days it actually would be really funny because I love the idea of a show yelling at the caller like, "Don't hang up, don't hang up," and just trying to beg you to not do it. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that would be funny actually.
It just happened.
I have to find my poem.
Oh. You've got a house so big that you've lost your poem while you're waiting on hold to read that poem to us?
It's easy.
Wow. You must live with P. Diddy.
I blame you guys.
Oh.
You must have
Everybody with, does.
With P. Diddy. Everybody does blame me, except P. Diddy. He takes responsibility for his own actions.
So does Kanye West.
Yep. Because he's the greatest of all time.
That wasn't awkward either.
Right, I know. I was about to start going with the Kanye, like, I'm the best of all. And I decided to stop.
Thank you.
No, I was reading a comment on the poem I'm about to read.
Oh,
and
okay.
And apparently I'm holding a site record for a reader on Writer's Cafe.
Oh, okay.
This is the first time anything on the site has made them shed a tear of joy.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Oh, cool.
Okay. This is another write in at what the moment I am calling the collection of poems unburst. So this is another write in that collection, and this one was actually written just a couple hours ago. This is Moment. How quickly time flies, passing by in just the blink of an eye and moving forward without a backward glance at the past. One day you will know this too. Just as I have spent a lifetime collecting memories, what more is life than a collection of snapshots and emotions, actions and reactions, known and unknown? We learn lessons by watching and doing, recreating sounds to form a first word and shakily standing to take our first step. We all fall, but it is important to learn how to get back up again. As your mom, I will be there for you first. First words, first steps, first smile. At least, I hope to be. I haven't met you yet, but I know you. I know that the love I feel for you now will only grow with you. As my belly expands, so does my fear. I fear that I won't be able to protect you, that I'll somehow let you down, that I will be the reason for your tears. I'm afraid that I might miss something, that I might lose you, apprehensive for every tomorrow. And yet, I am joyful. I know that life will get hectic sometimes. I know there will be pain. But I also know there will be love. But even if you shout out that you hate me and slam the doors, I will still love you. I know that I will cry with you in unsteady moments, broken relationships, and hurting hearts. I will hold you close when this world feels too big and the monsters too scary. I will squeeze your hand when you need courage to face the darkness. Be your light one more time if you need me. And one day, I will wake up and realize how many years have passed. Look back on the snapshots and emotions stored up in photo albums that I'll probably never finish. Perhaps one day we can look back on them together, reminisce of favorite toys and phases, and laugh about stages of rebellion. I will love you from here until forever, and not once will my feelings fade. You are mine. You are beautiful. And you are loved. End poem.
Holy cow. Where do you even start with that? Wow. You tickled my feelers on that immensely. I can't even, I mean, I could have easily written that to my daughter when I was waiting for her to come out, meet this world. Mariah, as always, stunning work.
Thank you.
Yeah, until we
nice
meet again.
To have a joyful reason to write.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, until you tell us we suck again, I thank you for calling our show.
All right. You suck.
Ha! That was Mariah, World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. She did it, too.
She hung
right
up on
up.
Us.
Yep.
Awesome.
That was the best mic drop ever. Well, in 34 years or so.
Or in the last 2 hours, I don't know.
No, he just made a impregnation joke. Yeah,
a birthing joke.
Yeah, mic drop.
Gotcha.
Just wait. You know what's going to be awesome? The letter next week during the After Dark segment. I am going to piss him off so much.
That's hard.
I'm going to do it.
All right, guys, how do we round out tonight? Should we bring on a new caller?
I think we should go to, would you like to go to Tunisia?
We got a caller from Tunisia?
Tunisia. Not Onesia. Not Trinesia. Tunisia.
Tunisia.
Yeah.
Please welcome Ilhem Isawi. Ilham, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
I am so glad you're calling us. You're calling from Tunisia?
Yes.
What in God's earth time is it there?
Now it's 6 a.m.
And she stayed up this whole time.
You stayed up this whole time just to call our show. I am very blessed by you doing that.
No, I'm the one blessed. I'm really, really honored to be among such brilliant poets from the United States. That's so lovely, so lovely.
Now, because you are calling from Tunisia, and because it was kind of a little bit of a task to get you on, you asked if you could do two poems. So I hope everybody will forgive us. All the other poets will forgive us. We said we would. She said there were two short ones. We're going to allow her to do both. So I'll take responsibility for that if anybody gets upset, but we think it's the right thing to do. So there we go.
Thank you very much. Okay, the first one. To my dry soul, you know, my soul, my brooding soul, there are far, far sumptuous matters other than jejune love, far softer and loftier matters. I see fathomless tunes, I hear far dandelions in a sky wide and cloudy, with no thunder, only whispers like those dreams of infancy portrayed. And I know you are the only one who could ascend to it, for you bear empyreal traits. You have feathers, you are like the curtains in winter, diaphanous and like birds praying nubidigant and forer. And cardinally sanguine, you are the truth I am sailing to fathom. That's the first one.
Wow.
Thank you. Okay, the second one.
Don't start just yet. I want to say, holy cow, what inspired that?
Just thoughts out of boredom.
Oh, you are quite the writer. I can't wait for this next one now.
Okay, thank you very much. Death emerges. Death haunts. Death taunts. Death and I meet. But life seemed winsome, and I was a cherub, they say. My words made flowers bloom, my days and traits yearned for hands to soothe what was left of my soul. My soul, like an orb, perishing forever among the clouds of unknown. And you still utter my name, and I suffer and holler, oh branches, oh mild and wild soldiers. Look how somber and pale I am. The songs in me freed themselves away, like migratory birds, and I'm the fledgling without feathers. I love the petals in juice, but here is death, poison in my cup, a marulence I knew never of, but now I do. The end.
Well, thank you. I do want to take a moment. We ask this of all our new callers. How did you hear about our show all the way in Tunisia?
Well, I have so many friends on Facebook from the United States, and they always talk about this show, and I was amazed about it. I was always listening to this show and following it, in fact.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes, you are popular.
You know what? I do have another question, just a cultural thing. Now, we have coffee shops that we share poetry in different venues. Is there much of a poetry scene in Tunisia? Is there much call for spoken word art, that sort of thing?
Sometimes, yes, they are held, yes. Sometimes young people do hold such events, yes.
Now, are they in a public place or are they in people's homes? Because I know there was a movement that were, like, reading in people's homes.
Yeah. Well, in fact, it's like sometimes it is held in bars or coffees or, you see, places like that.
Nice. And and do you ever go to the live events at all?
No, I've never did.
You should do it because you're very, very talented as a spoken word artist. I enjoyed your stuff.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for calling. I know it was a bit of a task to get through and everything, but I will say your work is wonderful. And I now have my next voice crush. So there we go.
There you go. And you can call our show anytime, and Mike will not reject the phone call whatsoever.
Yes.
true.
Ilham, I thank you for calling us.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao. Bon nuit.
Ciao, ciao. Good night. That was Ilham on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Tunisia.
Whew.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike develops these voice crushes on a lot of our callers, actually.
I do, yeah. And that's true.
He's
it's never been a male caller, but it's not a weird thing. It's literally just turning the voice.
There was Bob from New Mexico that you had that voice.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Although, see, with the male voices, I tend to get really good at impressions.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. But
as we will find out later tonight after we're off the air.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Yeah.
So, we do have some work to do. That's
yes,
right.
We got work to do, my friend.
That's right. I'm going to warm my voice up a little bit.
Yes. All right. So that'll do it for. I'm going to do one.
One more
to round out the night. Guys, thank you for tuning into our show. We're not quite done yet. I'll do one poem and then I'll bid you all good night. Back when I was a younger poet, I once took all my poetry that I ever had written in my short 3 years of writing poetry and printed it up and gave it to a young girl whom I've not seen since because I'd like to get that book back. I actually had it printed on like fine quality paper and bound and the gold leaf on the edges and everything like that. And this is one I wrote her after our breakup. This is entitled Stacy's Poem. When we met so long ago, I would hold your hand in mine. I would tell you you were different. I could tell that you were kind. You told me beautiful things, that my dreams mattered too. If I called on a stormy night, yes, you would help me through. Your green eyes seemed to pierce me, even if it was just a picture. Now as I look back on us, I knew we were a great mixture. You were the soft and velvet glove that fit upon an iron fist, the sweet sugar within my tea of you, if you get my gist. You were the beautiful fragrance on this man's dying flower. I was the radio with the songs, and you were my only power. So I look back and cry as I see what could have been. I take the time to analyze and set my sights on you again. You ask my friends if it is true, how it is that I feel inside. I know the day that we parted, my soul within me died. I'm willing to try again and again, but one chance is all I really need. For you accomplished a lot with your love and made a flower out of a weed. You built a grandiose castle where once was stood barren land. You took this boy who was lost and built him up into a man. I remember what it was to have your lips touch mine. That memory is more priceless to me than even the most expensive wine. So if memories are all that I will have of the time that I spent with you, I will never fall in love again in love. It will never be again as true. So let me offer my lines as the memories now run me through. If there is ever a doubt, yes, I admit I still love you. And it's true. I still do care about her. I'm glad I'm with my wife, but I still do care about her.
Sure, I understand that. Yeah.
You know, you look back on certain things with the fondness. I want that book back. Anyway.
speaking of books, can I throw out
yes,
something?
Yes, we need to.
Okay, so we haven't mentioned this. Next week, we have something pretty significant happening. We've already mentioned it a few shows back.
Yeah.
We have a book being released.
Another book.
Another book. Released.
Not World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. No.
This book is from the one, the only haiku master. That's right. A collection of haikus selected from across the years from one of the world's reigning haiku masters.
Hi-ya! You're going to want to pucker up for this one.
That's right. It's like a Poseidon's kiss in poetry.
He's going to have to write a haiku with Poseidon's kiss in it.
He very well will. Now, one thing I'm going to say, and I'm just going to say this on the air. I'm going to throw this out. We need to get you to have a book come out this year.
That's in the works. Actually, to be honest, I was planning one for the same weekend that you guys were releasing yours, and I'm like, I'm not going to steal the Haiku Master's thunder. So I've delayed it. I've picked a new weekend.
Okay.
So that's all right.
Okay, so do we have a time we can expect it?
I'm not going to release the date just yet. I've got one ready to go.
I know you do.
Some finishing touches, and we're set to go.
Okay,
sweet.
Cool.
Okay, right.
Cool. We're going to finger paint the covers, and then we'll be ready to go.
I actually should do that.
I think it's a great idea.
Do the art on my own cover.
Absolutely. Why the hell not, dude? I can.
Bukowski did it. Why not? I'm the poet extraordinaire. I can do it.
And he's a humble poet. Okay.
Yes.
So.
All right. That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for tuning in. For Michael, the Half Squatch, and myself, we'll talk to you next week. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.